Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He's speaking to us from Calgary. Welcome back to the show, Joseph.
Good to be with you again, Jim.
Joseph, what's the story on crude right now? Price is up.
Yeah, we've really seen a very positive move on the price of crude oil, and it's on really two issues that have been helping it. One of them is attacks by Ukraine against the refineries in Russia, and the price of crude went to a new high today for the year, $81.92 for WTI, so $82, and that was because three refineries were knocked out by drone attacks by Ukraine. One of them is a big refinery, 340,000 barrels a day, which was producing, you know, diesel and gasoline and jet fuel and, you know, all kinds of products that are needed. And so in the last number of, last few quarters, Russia has been exporting not only oil but also products. And with these knockouts by the drones by Ukraine, the export capability has been stopped. Gasoline exports have been stopped by the, you know, Putin government. And they want to make sure that they have gasoline so that the local citizenry don't feel the disruption of the war. And these are all refineries that are on the western part of Russia, which is, you know, just over the border from the eastern part of Ukraine. And so the drones that are being fired from the Ukrainian side of eastern Ukraine are the ones that are knocking out these refineries. And you don't know how long they'll take to repair them. So the price of oil got up to $82. The other positive is we've seen some very good manufacturing and export data out of China. So everybody's waiting to see, does that mean an increase in demand for gasoline, crude oil, etc. The negative, though, is that consumer spending in China is very weak. While you're seeing the export and manufacturing sector and seeing a bit of a bounce, which is helpful. It's being more than offset by, consumers reining in, because of all the losses they've got from their real estate, you know, homes that they speculated investing in, that aren't being built, and all the bankruptcies we've seen in the real estate sector. So the disposable savings, they're now putting in the bank, very cautiously, and not buying very, many, you know, higher-end consumer things. I think we've seen it from, you know, the Gucci announcements. I think the owner of Gucci put out an announcement yesterday, I think, that China sales were down sharply and the stock got hammered because the whole luxury world was dependent upon, sales in China.
Oh, I feel sorry for the Gucci family.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, those $3,000 purses.
Yeah. Yeah, and luggage and everything. You start going through it all, yeah.
Now, LNG, do you think Canada keeps saying, well, we'll supply hydrogen to Germany, but doesn't hydrogen take a lot of electricity to make, and wouldn't we be just better off to keep that electricity to power all these electric vehicles the government keeps saying they're going to mandate?
Well, you know, it's rhetoric versus reality. Quebec keeps on talking, oh, they want to be big in battery and the whole EV transition, but they don't have enough hydro, and they can't get Newfoundland to be ripped off anymore, or Labrador, And so they've lost you know, factories that could have gone to Quebec because they don't have enough, and now they're having to rethink, do they want to have natural gas versus, you know, before they were against it. And you also need a lot of natural gas to create hydrogen. So, Trudeau is waving the flag to Germany on stuff that Germany wants, but will it turn into a real business? I think I'm cynical that it means anything material. The LNG side in Western Canada is a reality by the end of this year. Sometime in Q3, we're going to see natural gas go in the coastal natural gas pipeline to the LNG plant, and potentially during Q4, we may see the first shipments of LNG to the Asian markets by the owners of LNG Canada. So I think that we're going to see Rockies LNG go forward, the Pembina project that they want to back, Enbridge has a project that they want to back, and potentially we could see 5, 6, 7 BCF of gas going to LNG export capability on the West Coast. And the consumption or the production in Western Canada right now is about 17 BCF. It was 18, but with all the low prices, drilling has slowed down and production levels have come down. So if you take 6, 7 BCF on top of 17, that's a pretty strong growth rate into the end of the decade. So I'm very bullish on the natural gas side longer term. The stocks are very cheap right now because of the low natural gas prices. So investors should be looking there for bargains. The oily stocks are trading probably fair value, and the service sector stocks are, most of them are pretty cheap because a lot of them drill for natural gas as well as oil, and the natural gas drilling record is way down.
Now, we have municipalities in British Columbia that say no to natural gas. They want all of it to come from landfills. Is that practical?
Absolutely not. The amount of natural gas that you can get from something like that is minuscule versus the real needs, for people. And, do they want to get like New York and say you can't use, gas on your, for your kitchen appliance, your stove, all of that is just, really stupid stuff. And, I don't think it, there's any realistic way that's going to happen. I think we're seeing the revenues potentially coming from energy to the BC government because of the pickup in drilling and LNG later this year. I think they're going to realize, just like they do with mining that and forest products, this is a big revenue generator for government, and it's a nice transition fuel. They're going to take a totally different, attitude when they see how big the coffers are gaining in terms of revenue to fund the social services programs that they want to do and any other, things they'd like to do, for the economy, housing, medical care, elder care, all the things, dental care, pharma care. They'll realize that who's paying for it, it's the resource industries.
Stuart Muir from ResourceWorks told us that each one of those LNG ships carries over $100 million worth of product. If what a day is leaving Kitimat, that's a bit of money a year.
Yeah, the issue is going to be, if it's only Kitimat, or is it going to be 3 or 4 different projects, and then the royalties that the government gets, the jobs, the taxation for people working in the industry. It's a massive impact on the coffers of the provincial government. And I think just like in Alberta and Saskatchewan, which have known that for decades, BC really didn't have much from energy resources. It had it from forest products and mining. They're going to realize that this is a big win for them. That's going to change the mental state of even the leftists in the government.
Former Finance Minister Carol Taylor, who you might remember from CTV, she told me when she was BC Finance Minister, she had nightmares about the price of natural gas dropping or going up 1 or 2 cents because it meant millions of dollars to the BC coffers.
Yeah, and we're talking 7 BCF a day, if it gets to that by the end of the, it could end up being 20, 30, 40% of the revenues to the province, just like in Alberta, 25% today is coming in from resource revenues from oil and natural gas, and that's with depressed natural gas prices. If we get, decent $3, $4 an MCF in Alberta, you're going to be looking at maybe 35, 40% of the revenues the government gets comes from one industry, energy.
Up until a few years ago, natural gas was considered a clean source of energy. Then all of a sudden, we're told, oh, it's a fossil fuel, it's bad because of methane leaks. Does Canada have a methane leak problem?
Well, I think we have more of a methane leak problem from cattle. But I think that, the industry has spent a lot of money on taking care of methane from wells, methane from pipelines. The industry has done a lot of, the right things to, in terms of watching their emissions, finding ways to lower those emissions. And so I give the industry full credit that they've done the right things. And, and you compare that to, everybody's nickel and diming over little things like that when, the big thing to worry about is India and China with building more and more coal-fired electricity plants versus building more, natural gas or nuclear, which they should be doing to clean the air. Like, the smog in many of those cities is horrible. We do not have that smog problem in Canada.
Yeah, China's lifespan has gone down 6 years due to the horrible air pollution in their cities. But they also have a very high smoking rate. And I cynically say, yeah, China wants their citizens to smoke. So by the time they reach pension age, they're dead.
I'll leave that one alone. I'll leave that one to you, Jim.
Well, Japan, same thing, high smoking rate. And the government has the tobacco monopoly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also have a different diet, but they've been moving towards a Western diet, more beef and more fatty substances. So that's impacting their lifestyle as well. Mm. And their weights, the size of the people.
Oh, yeah. The Japanese students I saw at BCIT, they're very large kids.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot has changed in the last few decades as diets have changed around the world.
We'll have more with Joseph Schachter right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Joseph Schachter. April 1st in Canada, the federal carbon tax goes up 3 cents a liter on gasoline. Is it inflationary, and will it cause the price of just about everything to go up? Because as Paul Landry, former president of the BC Trucking Association, said, practically everything you own was in a truck at some time.
Yeah, I totally agree that, the 4 or 5 cents that, that depending upon where you are, that's going up. When you take into account that the price of crude oil has gone from 70 to 82, that's going to have a bigger impact, maybe 5 to 10 cents. So we could be looking at 10, 15 cents bump up sometime in early April from the price increase of the commodity and the taxes going up. And that's going to, impact spending because, if people need to buy, transport, fuel for their car, that's going to give them less money to do other things for the lower and middle class, consumers in Canada. Right now, of course, you see Poilievre trying to have a no confidence vote on it. It's not going to happen, but it'll definitely score points for him with the population. Especially, if he's getting a lot of media attention, right after that increase and then he kind of drags the Liberals through the mud for doing that.
A secret RCMP report says, look out for civil unrest over the next 5 years as the Canadian economy declines. Are we on the verge of becoming a real Hunger Games?
Canada versus, a lot of other places in the world, I think that, while we've had a very large increase in immigration or immigrants, fleeing horrible places, it's not the same as what we see in the States. The violence, the robberies, and the fact that the police do not arrest the culprits or they're let out right away by the local DAs. The U.S. is in much more precarious situation than we are. I would say Germany is, Poland, all those countries are worse shape than us. We're more of a law-abiding society, but we all have bad guys in every society, and drug problems in every city. So yes, I think that law and order is going to be front and center on the election issues into the latter part of this decade, where people are not going to be feeling safe, and they're going to want tougher laws against those who are committing crimes. And also deporting criminals who snuck into this country without, saying, well, I want asylum because I'm worried. Well, if you're part of a gang and another gang wants to kill you and you're in a gang, I bet you you'll be deported.
Back in the 80s in Metro Town, Burnaby, right next door to Vancouver, they had a problem with Latino gangs from Central America selling drugs and shooting people. And Immigration Canada actually set up an office right in the mall with the RCMP so they could instantly deport these people. And then they'd be back 3 months later, deported, back 3 months later, deported. But after a while, they stopped trying to come.
Yeah, but,
can't fight it.
Yeah, and the U.S. has got such an open border policy, and Biden is blaming the Republicans when it was him canceling all of Trump's policies that kept them out. So the U.S. election is going to be a very nasty one, and the leftists who are supporting Biden want open borders because the more immigrants come in, they think they'll, with all the freebies they're getting, they'll vote Democratic. The people living in those border states are going to say, we're not voting for you, Mr. Biden. You're letting this crime happen in our streets. Our kids can't walk the streets. We can't walk the streets. People are being carjacked, hijacked. Stores are being closed. In many cities, Targets and Walmarts are being closed because the amount of, theft and injury to employees is getting more than you can do it. Like I go to, a superstore here in Calgary, and they have a guard at the end who is the guy there to stop theft. He's got a fancy jacket on. I can't remember what it is. Shrink shortages or whatever it is he's got. That he's the officer to make sure people don't walk off with stuff.
Joseph, what's the state of the Alberta oil patch?
Well, the oil patch is doing well from the point of view of the TMX pipeline will be taking oil, just in the next few weeks, 2.1 million barrels during the month of April, the same in May. We'll start seeing, I think in June, the first shipment. You may have seen a press announcement on that one of the China companies is going to be taking a shipment of heavy crude to China. Just looking at U.S. exports, they're up 1.7 million barrels from a week ago to 4.9 million, and they're up, 7% year over year because the light oil that comes out of the shales is not processed in the U.S. Refineries because they need they're used to processing heavy crude, so they buy Canadian heavy crude. And the light crude that's coming out of the shales and the condensate, that they're selling that around the world. And so we're benefiting from that. But we're also going to be benefiting from TMX adding, 500,000 barrels a day of capacity, over the next few months. And a lot of the large oil sands companies, Suncor, Cenovus, Imperial, CNQ, are all going to benefit from it. The problem is, we don't know the tariffs. And of course, with the massive cost overruns, part of those cost overruns have to be taken by the shippers, and they may balk if that number is so high. And then the federal government is going to be in a box where they're going to have to take a massive write down on the project such that the tariffs thereafter can be paid for and are economic versus shipping south through the pipelines into the Gulf Coast, or even by rail to the Gulf Coast.
Alberta Premier Danielle Smith offering a $5,000 tax credit for people in selected trades and skills to move to Alberta. Is that program needed?
With all the things going on with in Edmonton with, you know, with the carbon capture, with Dow Chemical plant putting in one of the, you know, the most efficient, you know, climate-friendly new facilities there for petrochemicals, with all the things going on with potential expansion of SAGD and oil sands, where, you know, mines run out and they have to start up new mines. And the First Nations are going to be a big part of that as partners going forward. We need, you know, pipe fitters, you need welders, you need anybody who's got a background, you know. So, you know, the schools like Nate and Sate that are the ones that train, you know, the technical positions are finding, you know, very good opportunity to teach kids to, and they end up making, you know, six-figure income. So, you know, six-figure income in Alberta with our lower cost of housing, you know, easy to start a family, easy to own a home after a few years. And you sure can't say that in Toronto or Vancouver.
Joseph, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Oh, my pleasure as always, Jim.
My guest has been Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He was speaking to us from Calgary. If you have any questions for Joseph or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.